And it's our privilege now to spend some time looking into God's Word. And as we do that, stepping into this new year, into 2020, we're going to go back for a few of the services in, or some of the services in January, looking at the book of Acts again. And so today, as we step into this new year, we're going to be thinking about community. We do that in a society that is thinks a lot about individual, but we're going to think about what the Bible says in one particular place about community. And so I look forward to that. I also want to recognize that I do this with a little bit of reservation in the sense that you probably, or many of you, you've been longer in a community than I have, and so maybe you ought to be preaching the sermon to me. I'm not really sure. But, you know, I really admire the length of time and the being part of a community. And as we move around, that seems very appealing and good to me. At the same time, we see a variety of communities, so I guess we have that perspective as well. So we're going to think about that. And as I do that, I'm remembering a number of years ago when we lived in Victoria, British Columbia. There was an editor of the paper there that I appreciated reading. He made it pretty clear he wasn't a Christian, but he was a good writer. And he noted a survey about Canadian cities. And so there was 18 Canadian cities that were surveyed. And the questions that they were asking, they wanted to get at how happy are the people in these cities. So it was sort of a happiness scale survey. And Victoria, where we lived, was one of the cities. Now, Victoria is a city. It's on an island. It's by the ocean. You have mountains available. The weather is fairly mild. Just city of gardens. I mean, a lot of outside things that were pretty appealing. Where do you think Victoria came out on the happiness scale? Dead last. Bottom. And so this writer said, okay, now why? Why would we think this is? The highest city was St. John's, New Brunswick, which is also a port city, but it's on the opposite coast. The weather is much colder. The average income is lower. And so that some of the externals, again, would lead one to think differently. So he did some thinking. He says, I wonder why it is that we aren't happy here. And he said, here's my humble opinion. He said, I think that a lot of people who came to this area, to Victoria, came because of the gardens and the ocean and the mountains and the surfing and whatever else you can do there. And they didn't care. It wasn't a high priority for them to be in a community. They just came there because they individually wanted to do those things, and they still don't have a community. In other words, he says, I think that people are unhappy here because they don't have a community. And places in those other, people in those other places put community at a higher level, and therefore they are healthier and doing better. What he was saying is we need community. And I think we in the church recognize that as well, that to have that priority of people that we do life with and to think about how we do that is an important thing, and that is a human need that we all have, a need that God built into us. So we're going to look at this one passage, and we're going to ask, what does this passage say about community? Now, we could look a lot of places, but just at these verses, and think through the idea, as the Holy Spirit is working, of working through community. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I will note to you as well that just before these verses, we hear these words. So those who received his word, and Peter has just preached his Pentecost sermon, and it says this, and for those who received his word were baptized, those who heard the message, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Those 3,000 people have just come to believe in Christ, and then we have the blessing of that and perhaps the chaos of that, and here's what happens. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your holy word. And we pray that now as we look into and hear your word, that you will guide us by your Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. I'll note that I am following in thinking this through an outline by a writer named Bruce Milne, so leaning on him for the outline of this. And I do want to recognize that we're going to notice five things in community that are helpful. I mean, we've recognized that it's something that we need, but what does it look like? And so, biblically, we're going to look at what we see here. And we want to recognize that what we see in this story of this community is not a command. It doesn't say, do these things. And yet, it is a picture of what happened then and what seemed to be very healthy. Now, recognize community is not easy. I'm sure there were difficulties then. We read about some of those difficulties in the New Testament church community. Community is not necessarily easy, but it's good. So what characteristics do we see of the community here? And the first one we see is that it's a community is a place that is devoted to teaching about God's word, and there's a commitment to that. The word devoted is important there. It's a word that recognizes a solemn commitment to. They devoted themselves. They were committed. And we've got people of a variety of amount of time in being people of faith in Jesus. I mean, some of them had known of Jesus for a while. Others were brand new to this, and they've got all these new people. And so this mix of people, many of whom who are just, they're part of the Jewish faith before this, but not knowing Jesus. So they're new to this. They're coming together, and they committed themselves to this. Remember, there's a place in Revelation where the writer there is talking and speaking to, in a corrective way to some of the churches, and he says to one church, you have lost your first love, that love of being committed, devoted. Well, this description here in the book of Acts says they had this devotion, they were committed. To the apostles' teaching, which is the basics of the gospel, these people were, they had it in their hearts and they said, we want to learn. And so that teaching was provided somehow and they were committed to this. And I think one of the things that we see in community is this recognition that we in community need good teaching, biblical, godly, Holy Spirit-guided teaching. Because otherwise a community can go the wrong direction. I thought of that recently when I was kind of thinking through over the holidays. You know, we live in the parsonage, and I don't know if you know this or not, but in the parsonage there is this cool thing called a laundry chute. Okay? And it goes all the way from the top floor to the bottom, and you can put your laundry in, and in, pump, and it goes down to the bottom. It's really cool. And when you have grandkids over, if you have one, it's okay, but if you get more than one, then they find other things to use that for. And see, you can drop something from the very top, and then you can have the next one go down to the second floor and see if they can catch it. And if they miss, then it goes all the way down. And so we're finding things like pretzels and cookies and a variety of things in the laundry. And so when we discovered that, we suggested other activities for them. But then I told this to my son, because when you're a grandparent, you just kind of have fun with these things. And I told my son about this, and he said, oh, yeah. So this next part of the story did not happen here. I want to make sure you know this. It did not happen here. He said, we were at his wife's parents, so his in-laws, and with their kids, and they're in a family where there's just a lot of kids this age. I don't know how many, I just know it's a lot. And so it was family coffee time after church, and they also have a laundry chute. And so they were, again, these kids were thinking what they could put now in the laundry chute, and then they got the bright idea maybe one of them could fit in the laundry chute. Now, this was a bigger laundry chute than what's here, and apparently they could fit. They didn't, though, think through the logistics very well because they had one coming up from below, and there's this table that the laundry would come out on and climbing up, And then the other one went from the first entry point coming down, and which was probably a good thing because he was coming down head first. And then they did this, and then they kind of met and collided and landed out on the table. Now, I want to make sure for anyone, this is a bad idea, okay? This was, somebody could have got hurt really bad. As it was only bruises and a bit of crying, but it could have been terrible. I mean, crash out on the table, there they are. And the adults who are thinking, they're just having Sunday coffee, thinking all is well, and suddenly they got to attend to all this chaos. That was a community in which they, without good teaching, came up with a pretty bad idea. Now, we can laugh at kids, but history is full of examples of adults in community coming up with and living out bad ideas. As a community, we need guidance. We need God's teaching. And we have that in His Word and by the presence of His Spirit. And a community then is a place that is characterized by and devoted to teaching. So we can ask ourselves, how does that work here? Because one of the questions in each of these characteristics I want to be in your mind is just, how are we doing on this characteristic? Because we want to have that teaching available and we want to be committed to it, as we say, cradle to grave, that we support families in the early part of teaching and all the way through one's life. We're always learning, always growing. And so we want to be committed to both provide and to take in that kind of teaching. So we ask the question, how are we doing? We have Sunday school. We have high school catechism. We have small groups and a variety of Bible studies. We have Sunday morning services. We have Sunday night services. And the question I want to ask is, how? And I can't answer this question right now, but how do we think we're doing? I mean, there's a lot of things happening, and those are good things and committed people. But in terms of fully supporting those things, how are we doing in that sort of ongoing teaching? Recognizing that we are called to be people who are committed to that teaching and learning. And people who are committed not only to learning truth propositions about God. I mean, we certainly, those are good, and we certainly want those, but also that we know God's character, his love and his holiness. And so in a rounded, balanced way, people who are taking in, who know God and who know about him and know him personally. A place of teaching. Second, a community is a place of fellowship. Now, there's a part of this that we're not going to spend so much time on. It is important, but it's kind of a message on its own, and that's the giving part of it. So I just wanted to kind of recognize that and just note it briefly, but no, there's a lot more that could be said, because it talks about how they gave to one another and sold their possessions and so forth. And want to recognize that it's important to look at this in a balanced way and to recognize that this is not a command. And it does also, if we look at this passage carefully and we look at other passages, it we can see in the Bible that the ownership of private property continued. So it's not as if they gave up all private property. But the other thing that we want to recognize in terms of giving is that very quickly people will go to those kinds of thoughts and say, well, yeah, but, and I think we want to recognize, as soon as we sort of put up, well, yeah, almost a defense, we want to ask, what's going on? What's the motive in that? And so while we want to recognize the reality of what happened in this special circumstance, we want to also recognize the kind of commitment to generosity, to giving that is spoken of here. The kind of, how do we view the possessions that God has blessed us with? It speaks against clinging to those as only ours, and it certainly speaks to an open-handed generosity. And so we want to recognize and think through our motives and recognize that God calls us to take that very, very seriously. We are to be people of generosity. And I speak that under fellowship, because when it says fellowship, it is that word is really koinonia. And koinonia can also mean sharing things together. So the idea of sharing together and an open generosity is in the word fellowship. So that part of fellowship. But there's also the fellowship of caring about each other. And that's part of having things together, that's a recognition that we walk through life together. And so we're not just independent islands doing our thing, but we are people who are in community, who share with one another, not only possessions and when there's a need, but time and conversation. And so we need to ask, how are we doing in that? A community is a place of fellowship, which includes that generosity that we talked about, but it goes to how do we have conversations? How do we communicate with one another? What sort of communication do we have throughout the week? And we need to see that in a community where it can be challenging in terms of we're busy people and one might go this way to work and one might... So we don't necessarily see each other physically during the week. And so how do we then promote community in a world that can promote individualism? And to see that we are called to be people of fellowship. So again, I just... in your mind, be asking the question, how are we doing with fellowship? How can we grow? Are there opportunities that we could help in a different way, and not only within the congregation, but outside the congregation as well? Are there other opportunities that we can get together and see each other more often? We noted that we don't naturally always do that during the week. I mean, in some cases you do, but not all of us. And yet, how can we promote that and have opportunities to get together? A community is a place of fellowship. A third thing that we can see is that community is a place of worship. There's a variety of ways that's spoken to. It says that the people were in awe of what God was doing, amazed at what God was doing. It says that they ate together, which is about the fellowship that we just talked about, but it's also probably a reference to celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together. And so this is breaking bread, this is eating, this is seeing that they're also then understanding the basics of the work of Jesus and celebrating that as they are spending time together. It says they praised God. It says that they prayed together. And so a lot of beautiful elements of public worship that are very, very important here. Just a couple that I want to notice. One of those is this idea of being in awe of what God is doing. Seeing God's work in our individual lives. And one of the things that I think it's important for a church to try to do, and it's important, we've tried a little, but I think together we can try to do this more, is to ask, how can we hear that as a church? One of the ways is, of course, having testimonies, having opportunities for people to be up front saying, here's what God is doing in my life, or in this opportunity to serve, here's how I saw God working. And I think that we need to continue to promote that, because there are lots of good stories of ways that God is working. I understand that some will say, well, yeah, but there's a danger in lots of testimonies because it can become more about the person than about God. That's true. But anything can be misused. And I think with that caution, we also can promote and ask, how can we together, whether that be in small groups or whether that be in a large worship time, how can we promote hearing about what God is doing so we can have that shared wonder? That it's a blessing to the person telling the story because they're really clarifying, here's how I saw God work, and it's a blessing to the people hearing the story because they get to be amazed also at how God is working. So that shared awe is important. The other that I just want to notice again is the emphasis here on prayer. I read a little piece from someone, I don't know who wrote this, but he said this: the first church prayed for 10 days, preached for 10 minutes, and saw 3,000 people come to Christ. The modern church prays for 10 minutes, preaches for 10 days, and sees a handful of people come to Christ. Now, I do preaching, and so I'm not personally against it, but I think that we do have to ask, where are our priorities? And I know I say this to a community of people who are highly committed to prayer in many ways. And certainly I know there's a lot of individual prayer. I do want to ask, how can we grow in corporate prayer? I mean, we've got Tuesday morning prayer time, we've got Sunday morning prayer time, but it really seems to me that there, in terms of corporate prayer, could be growth. And a recognition that certainly individual prayer is wonderful, it's good, but so is coming together corporately to pray. And I think we can challenge ourselves and see that part of that worship in community is that we worship through praying together. I think we can challenge ourselves, how can we do that? Fourth, community is a place that is attractive. It says that they had the favor of the people. And so this community in Acts was something that people saw and appreciated, and good community is. I think now we have to recognize that in terms of the church community overall, that there have been times, there are situations that cause the church community to be less attractive sometimes to the wider society. There have been scandals in churches and hurtful things where people then come at that and say, well, that community, they're not too impressed with the church community. And I think the church has to own that and to see, yeah, that's real. And so we need to look directly at that and deal with it. We also understand that sin affects every part of life in and out of the church. And so we understand that and face it. But that doesn't change the reality, the huge, bigger reality, that God's community is a healthy thing. And when a community sees a healthy church community, people are drawn into that. And so I think it's just good for us to see, to celebrate that, to invite people into it, to talk about it when we're out and about with at work or wherever we meet people, but to show people what community looks like, because a healthy community is attractive. As we said when we started the message, people need community. People long for community. And God gives us that as we center that community on knowing Him, knowing Jesus, being part of the family of Christ. That radical togetherness that we have is a healthy and a beautiful thing. Final thing that we can see is that healthy community is on a mission. We see how they did life together, how they cared for one another, and that was extremely important. But for a community to be healthy, it cannot just be focused in on itself. A healthy community has to be focused also out, on a mission. Trusting in, believing in that powerful work of Jesus and saying, our mission is to share that news, to tell others about Jesus. It even says that the people here, part of what they did in their daily was to be in the temple. Now for them, that was a mission because they're in the temple of these Jewish people who have been looking for Jesus, and then those who are now Christians are saying, Jesus is here. They've been looking for the Messiah, and it is Jesus. So to call those people who had been looking for a Messiah to believe in Jesus, that was, in their place, a big part of their mission. We live in a different world than that now, but we are called to be people who, as part of this beautiful community, ask, how do we look out? We have stated as a church that our vision is to honor God and to serve others and to transform lives. It goes to focusing on God to ask, how can we bring that to others? And a huge part of that is that we are looking out and ask, how can we then, with the relationship that we have with Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit, how do we then trust Him to bring us out? And we have to keep emphasizing that, because what community naturally does is, humanly, it starts to focus in. And in God's guidance, we have to keep bringing that focus to out. Not forgetting the in, but including and emphasizing the out. People on a mission. We have help doing that in our denomination, and we have a community that is a beautiful place to serve in, and we're called to be people who look out. I wonder sometimes what it looked like as they were developing this community in the early church. I mean, imagine they've got this small group of believers, and suddenly you have 3,000 more people added, and people are being added daily. They don't have Facebook, websites, the technology ways that we have to organize people. I mean, how do you do that? And yet, within that, God showed them a way to be a healthy community and to grow together. And I think we want to conclude by just recognizing and seeing that powerful need for and beauty of community. Eugene Peterson, in one of his writings, notes how even the virtues that we can take on, if we take them on and keep them to ourselves, they go bad. They only stay healthy in community. He says this, "Love cannot exist in isolation. Away from others, love bloats into pride. Grace cannot be received privately. Cut off from others, it is perverted into greed. Hope cannot develop in solitude. Separated from the community, it goes to seed in the form of fantasies. No gift, no virtue can develop and remain healthy apart from the community of faith." We cannot remain healthy apart from the community of faith. God calls us to be people who see that, and He calls us to be the biblical community. And that's our call as we now start 2020, trusting Him and serving Him. And all God's people said, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your powerful work in Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for the way You provided salvation for us, and You sent the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to empower us as we see in Your Word. And we thank You for the picture we see in this community of people coming together, growing, a growing number of people, serving You, trusting in You, being part of Your family, and being part of the community that You provide. As we live that out here in this community, we pray that You continue to strengthen us. Help us to grow together. Thank You for Your ongoing work here, and thank You for the beautiful community You have provided here. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please remember that one way we can be part of community is the roundtable discussions that we will have going on right after church today and tomorrow starting at 5 o'clock. So please be part of that, and we would love to get your input on to do with the next pastor. And so, again, invite you to be part of that. We also remember that as we go out, we do go out from here, but we are still together. We are people of God's community. We go out hearing these words. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen.